So I split this into two parts on purpose because it's too much text in the fifth chapter to cover in one Sunday. We're only dealing with the first 10 verses in the fifth chapter of Mark. And this morning I want to talk just for a moment from fight the right enemy. This is part one. Fight the right enemy. Fight the right enemy. Look at somebody and say, we got to learn how to fight the right enemy. Fight the right enemy. So, text has been read, and I want to tell you that I had a good struggle last night. A good struggle. It's called when you got to go over the text again. When you got to deal with the text again before you preach. That's a good problem to have, because somewhere you might have missed something. So I want to share with you what I might have missed. And for all our students going back to school, all of you life students, I want to take y'all through what this student had to deal with last night. That cool? Yeah. So I think sometimes I read stuff the wrong way. And I felt like I was reading the text the wrong way for probably the first time in years. It's like, something just ain't right. You know that feeling? Something ain't right. Just don't feel right. So I asked some questions of a very intelligent person. And I had a conversation that challenged my brain to just look again. Last week, in the midst of all the stuff that probably should have got me kicked out of the church. If y'all were here last week, I said a whole lot of stuff. And if you did, if you ain't heard it, go to the website. I said a lot of stuff last week. I'm glad I'm still here. I'm glad y'all didn't run me out and nobody else tried to run me out. And I'll probably say some stuff like that again over time. But we dealt with the disciples and Jesus being on the sea. And y'all remember the storm that happened was unusual. And we identified that unusual storm as being, in essence, a demonic level attack. Because you discern that fishermen on a boat dealing with a storm, they shouldn't be as scared as they were. They were afraid because this was something they never experienced. Go to the bottom of the ship, tell Jesus about it. Like, don't you care that we're perishing? One of the things we missed in just describing the storm was that not only was the storm happening, but water was actually filling the ship. It was bad. It was nasty business. Jesus was asleep. They wake him up. Jesus comes to the top of the ship. We know what happens. He tells everything to shut up, and then he went on back to sleep. That's how I'm summing it up, because Jesus was just that cool that he could get up out of his sleep, probably be like borderline cranky, go to the top of the ship, tell everything in creation, get back in his place, and then he look at them and said, what's up with your faith? And I'm going back to sleep. And the rest of them looking at each other like, this, what? Not. Who this dude? Well, the text says, what manner of man is this? But you translate that into basically, who's this dude? Like, that everything in creation stopped. This is a bad man, okay? Jesus is a bad dude, okay? But now, we have to dissect that just a little bit. The storm got put in its place, which means that every demonic force that was trying to deter their movement got put in its place.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. So now in the beginning of chapter 5, it was read, but hear it differently. They came to the other side, to the country of the Gerasenes, and when Jesus stepped out of the boat, watch it, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. What's the key word? Immediately. Once he stepped off the ship, The man that was possessed met. And what messed me up was I've been reading this story. It's one of my favorite stories for so many reasons. It's actually one of my top three images of Jesus doing ministry. Matter of fact, it's probably my number one image of Jesus doing ministry, because most people lean towards his teaching and his preaching, but they don't always talk about Jesus going to the places that nobody else wanted to go. This is what I enjoy. So immediately the man meets Jesus. But how we read it, we read it as if Jesus went into the tomb. I know I'm not the only one that just kind of flew over the text in the past. We're like, he met him there. No. The man met him as he came off the ship. The next few verses, all it describes was his condition, as in how he had been handled before he met Jesus. The way that he was handled was in such a way that it stripped him of his humanity. He was bound in chains in the tombs. In other words, he was put in a place where he was left for dead among the dead. And he had reached a point in his strength that shackles and chains could no longer hold him down. But it never says that he left the tomb. But he was just basically left for dead. Who goes around and deals with somebody who's going through express trouble and makes the conscious decision to put shackles on them and chain them up like a dog? People that didn't understand or could not recognize what he was going through. So we get a description of the man. That is not his condition at the moment. Y'all with me? Yeah. All right. It's not his condition at the moment. This is what he has been dealing with prior to Jesus showing up. The beginning of the text says the man met Jesus as he came off the boat. Immediately, the man met him as he came off the boat. Now, writers, pay attention. It went from the description of the man and what he had gone to before he met him. Then the writer comes back and says, as he was coming to him, Jesus called out what was in the man. Thank you, Jesus. He didn't talk about what the man had gone through. He had been shackled, all that stuff. He was in the tombs. He was crying out night and day, all that kind of stuff. Verse 6 says, and when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him, and crying out with a loud voice, he said, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. Wait for it. For he was saying to him, talking about Jesus, saying to the man, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. Which means that Jesus knew what was confronting him. And what was confronting him was not the man. See, okay, so now let me bring you back. See, sometimes we don't realize that Jesus, well, that God sends us into places and sends us into environments where God already knows we have everything that is necessary to actually liberate somebody. Because we begin to look at the things and the people that we are surrounded by, and we always see up close is what is going on with the person rather than the thing that has got the person bound. So because of that, we begin to demonize the humanity rather than call out the thing that is holding them down. So we are fighting people rather than fighting the thing that is messing with them. Come on in here. All right. I feel good now. Y'all got it now? See, here's the problem. The problem is we forgot somewhere along the line in church. I don't know where we forgot it. I don't know how we could have forgot it. I don't know why we forgot it. But this thing is still spiritual. I get all the stuff, but if you want to bring all the stuff in, can I tell you how you deal with the stuff? You still got to remember the Bible says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So the stuff that's going on that you see may be manifesting itself in flesh, but if you got discernment, you know that it is coming from a spiritual place. You can't fight a spiritual thing with your flesh. And the problems we have now are people trying to fight spiritual stuff with the flesh. And you can put that anywhere. Some of y'all follow me on Facebook and stuff like that, so you've been seeing that I've been posting just a little bit more than I probably ever have. But it was with purpose, because there's some good stuff going on for real that just needs to go out there. Professor Eddie Glaude, my God, I need to get some of his stuff. I've heard him before. I've listened to him. Professor at Princeton. And he was on last week on MSNBC. You got to not just get the 2-minute clip, get the 25 minute section of this show where they're talking about what happened in El Paso, specifically El Paso. And Eddie Glaude gets on there. And he says something so profound. Now, he said a lot of profound things in 2.5 minutes. But the thing that got me the most was that he said, in regards to the shooting, specifically in El Paso, specifically dealing with a perspective of white supremacy, going up and trying to take out people that were immigrants and other things. He said, the thing that we do in this country is we try to find somebody to place all of the issues of this world on. Rather than, I'm paraphrasing, rather than identify the fact that this has been the condition of the country before now. So it is easy to blame Trump for what's happening today, but you would have to accept the fact that for many, many years, this has been the condition of the country. So what he's trying to say basically is get to the root of the problem, because if you finally get to the root of the problem, folk might actually get free. So what I've extracted from that is this. There's a lot of people that continue to deal with things and try to pass it off as one thing rather than deal with the root of the problem. And you can't deal with the root of the problem unless you have enough perception and enough understanding that everything that's going on is not flesh only. It's something deeper. Okay? Jesus called out a demon from a distance, and he never judged the man that was coming. Y'all missed it. Let me say it one more again. He called out the demon that was locking down the man. He did not judge the man that was on his way to him. He identified on sight who the enemy really was. Some of y'all need to learn how to identify the right enemy. Some of y'all in here right now, I'm gonna try to be a little bit lighter than I was last week. I'm gonna give some people the benefit of the doubt. You don't know how to identify that enemy because all you've been doing is functioning in your flesh. And this is not a knock, but most of us do it. We see what we see. And what do? We process according to what our experiences have been, and we assume this is all that it is. Rather than start from the beginning, which is, there's got to be something more to this. So if we address what is more to this, we will see what comes out of this. So let me help you identify the right enemy going forward. Because you first, you got to learn how to identify. You can't fight what you can't identify. So the way you identify the right enemy, first, you got to identify it by name. You first identify the right enemy by its name. When the man came up to him and Jesus was trying to call that spirit out, the man kept coming. But what was speaking? You know what was speaking? Not the man. Legion was talking. Can I preach it like I want to? The text says this. What is your name? Now Jesus knew what was there. Jesus is still omniscient and all that, even though he is in the flesh. He knows what's there. But he made the enemy identify himself. What is your name? My name is Legion, for we are many. Mm-hmm. Jesus knew exactly what he was fighting because he called it by name. Let me help some of you up in here today. You ready for it?
Yes.
Stop trying to give certain things another name. When people talk about, when people try to demonize, for instance, immigrants, try to kill immigrants, people of color, try to disenfranchise those that are economically challenged, call it what it is. You ready for it? If it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. If it's white supremacy, call it. Y'all getting nervous. Cool. All right. No, I love my white brothers and sisters. Don't get me wrong. But guess what? Some of them are subject to the fact that there are people that look like them, sound like them, that continue to put around a rhetoric that talks about they are greater than. And put Jesus's face on it. And they don't realize they put the wrong face of Jesus on it. Okay, I'm going to say it anyhow. How can you put the melanized face of a Hebrew on a supremacist ideology and call it theology? You can't. It's called white supremacy. The God I serve decided that, hey, I'm going to use somebody with color from a region where the people got color. And I'm going to give a universal message that says I'm not just going to bless my chosen people, but I'm going to bless those that come in contact with me. Didn't we talk about that back in what, 2 Chronicles 6? I'm not just going to bless my people, but because of the prayer of Solomon, I'm going to bless even the foreigner that comes to this house because they need to know who I am too. That's the Bible. You've got to call stuff for what it is. When people are going through all kinds of struggle, don't just call them a bum or this or that. You don't know why they're in the spot they're in. Call the person by their name and call out the thing that's got them bound. Don't call somebody crazy when they're going through PTSD, when they're going through depression, when they're going through all kinds of mental and emotional situations. Don't try to put something on them that God didn't put on them. They are still created in the image and likeness of God, and they're looking for something that will help them break free. Let me help some of you up in here. You might be sitting next to somebody right now who's been struggling with all kinds of stuff, but you wouldn't know it because you couldn't identify it, because you can't discern it. Let me tell you something. When people are going through stuff, you need to back up and let God show you not what they are, but what is the thing, so that you can walk in the power and the authority that God has given you to call out the thing so that it can be dealt with. You're calling stuff by the wrong name. Two, you got to be able to identify it by its resistance. And I put in parentheses, as you see, the resistance is to the anointing on your life. Prove it, preacher. Got you. What's your name? Legion. We're many. But can you not throw us out of the region? I knew you were coming. That's why I tried all the stuff I tried. But you still showed up. Can I tell you something? If you ever wanted to find out how strong you really are and how much God's really working in your life, all you got to do is just take a step back and examine some stuff.
Amen.
Can I help you?
Amen.
If you still show up, I'm not talking about church. When I say show up, I'm talking about you get up in the morning.
Amen. Amen.
You missed it. I'm going to say it again. You actually get up in the morning.
Amen.
I don't care what's going on. You actually, the Lord let your body allow you to get up and you wake up. And you wake up the next day, and you going through all kind of stuff, but you still show up. The enemy's scared because he's trying to do everything in his power to make sure that you don't even show up. The moment you don't show up, you're just like what this man was in the tombs, left for dead. But somehow in the midst of all this, he busted out of the tomb. Came to the ship and came at the feet of Jesus. But the enemy was there too, because he was begging for his life. I got to still prosper around here. So please, whatever you do. Listen, you want to see how God is working in your life? There will be resistance to the things that are within you. There are things that are trying to tell you are less than. There are things and people trying to tell you that the only way you can function is out of this box, out of this idea that's not even of God. There are people that are in here right now that you are running through your mind. You hearing me, but you're running through your mind right now. Every last thing that somebody has said, every last thing somebody did, every last thing you have been going through. But baby, let me tell you something. The fact that you are here right now and he couldn't take you out is evidence that he's trying to resist something that, if it ever gets loose, is going to bless somebody's life. Listen, don't worry about what you're going through right now, because on the other side of this, there will be glory. It comes resisting not you, but what's in you. Have you ever looked to see what's in you? I know what's in me because God told me I am what God says I am. I'm a child of God. I am strong, I am mighty, not in and of myself, but because of what God has put in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Last thing is, you can identify the real enemy by its weakness. There's only so many tricks. Only so many tricks that somebody can pull. There's only so much stuff that any person can do, you know. Listen to Legion again. Verse 10 says, and he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Don't, I know we ain't got no juice with you, but if you don't mind, please don't destroy us. Legion was begging like Keith Sweat on a song. Begging. I ain't gonna leave all y'all. Begging like Lenny Williams. Look at y'all. Look at y'all. Look at y'all. Look at y'all. Begging. Begging. Begging is a whole nother level of asking stuff. Mm-hmm. And some people be like, I'll never beg for nothing. Stop it. I'm gonna help some people. Can I help some people before we finish this thing? Let me help some of these. So we got these wonderful young princesses in our church. And if y'all haven't learned yet, there's a whole lot of people, they don't call it begging, but they are begging. And they're gonna keep on begging. They thirsty. They begging. They pleading. They trying to plead their case. And we know they don't even have the GPA to get in your sphere. They ain't learned nothing from their mama or their daddy. That's not even half their fault, because some of their mamas and daddies ain't learned nothing.
Amen.
Moving on. But begging is a horrible thing. But begging happens when you have no other alternative.
Amen.
Begging happens when you have no other options or anything to offer. So they will say, help me. Don't kill me. Don't cast me away. Just let me go over there. I'll mind my business. That's what they were saying. We ain't got no beef with you. That's what happens when you confront a bully and look them dead in the eye. I ain't got no beef with you. Well, you've been talking. Say something else. And they like, you know what? I ain't got this to do. Let me what? Mind my business. I'm not saying that the enemy is weak, as in momentary power. But what I am saying is, when you walk in God's power, it exposes how weak the enemy is. The enemy works according to deception and tricks and schemes and all kind of stuff. But if you're unaware of the scheme and of the trick, you will always think that something is holding you back. But then God comes along and reminds you, no, you are not held back. You just haven't tapped into what I got yet. And if you ever tap into that, you will find out how weak the enemy is. Because when you find out how weak the enemy is, you'll find that all they were trying to do was move this over here, move this over here, and make you think you were in a whole nother thing. All they were trying to do, mess with somebody over here, started talking stuff over there to try to make you think you didn't have the anointing. They came over here and tried to tell you you were less than because of this and that. And the truth is you are made in the image and likeness of God. There's all this stuff that happens left and right. You don't have enough money, so you're not a success. When the truth is you're in between blessings on your way to being greater than you ever thought. There are people that will look at your situation and try to identify you according to the struggle that you're going through and the test that has come upon your life. But let me tell you something. When Jesus shows up, when the Lord shows up in your situation, you find out real quick that I'm not the weak one. It's the one that's been coming for me that's absolutely weak. Because once they run out of options, once they run out of tricks, once they run out of game, they ain't got nothing else. But everything that God has given me is going to last, because God has already promised me that no weapon that's formed against me is going to prosper. Every tongue that rises in judgment, I'll be able to condemn, because it's the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Is there anybody in here that knows that the enemy game is best shot, but you're still standing? Tried your best thing they can try, but you're still standing. Came with everything they had, but you're still standing. And I'm telling you right now, you won't be able to walk out of here today, and whatever he's trying to do right now, you're going to be able to fight on and see what the end is going to be. And let me take you to the end of your story. The end of your story is you got victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me. He bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him. And all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. You got to be able to know what you're dealing with. Don't back down. Don't back away. Lift up your hands, O ye gates. Be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. So, ladies and gentlemen, lift up your heads. Look at it. And call it for what it is. Because it knows everything is about to go down.